We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. Tomorrow, everybody knows, is a lunar eclipse, and we're going to be talking with Rabbi Menachem Posner, who is a spokesman for Chabad.org, who has done extensive research into Judaism and solar eclipses. Did I say lunar before? Solar eclipses. And we're going to be talking about that, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, etc. of the solar eclipse. Stay tuned for that. We have a wonderful assortment of Jewish music throughout the shows. Listen in. The portion of the week is the portion of Shoftim, which can be found in chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. It's filled chock-a-block with commandments, mitzvahs, an awesome, an unbelievable Hasidic story all the way at the end at 11:52 is when we'll be starting it. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Arabs were arrested in Jerusalem following riots where terrorists threw rocks and firebombs at police. Police used rubber bullets and water cannons to break up the crowds. Barcelona Rabbi Meir Bar-Chen announced that all community institutions would be closed in the immediate aftermath of the car rammings on Thursday in Barcelona. Bar-Chen confirmed that this was not a terrorist attack directed against Jews, following initial reports that a kosher restaurant on Las Ramblas thoroughfare along the path of the terrorist van had been a primary target. President Trump's Mideast team will meet with PA, Palestinian Authority officials, in Ramallah next week. The PA now demands that the U.S. broker a final two-state solution. Meanwhile, the PA announced that it would continue to pay families of terrorists killed or jailed in Israel after the U.S. Senate passed the Taylor Force Act, which put conditions on the PA to stop the payments in order to receive U.S. aid. In other words, the Palestinian Authority is thumbing their nose at the U.S. Senate. And finally, Rasmia Odeh, the popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine terrorist who murdered two Jewish college students in a Jerusalem bombing in 1969, was stripped of her U.S. citizenship. Odeh spent 10 years in Israeli prisons and was released in a prisoner swap. She moved to the U.S. in 1994 using an alias and was granted U.S. citizenship in 2004. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Chabad.org's own Rabbi Menachem Posner. We've had him on before. This time we've been talking about the solar eclipse tomorrow afternoon's big national occurrence. How are you, Menachem?
Thank God, doing very well. How are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay, so people are making a big deal, just as a part of research for the show today. So I went to Nashville Visitors Bureau, and I typed in, like, B&B, Airbnb, hotel. So Nashville, which is in the, one of the part of the swath of, probably one of the bigger cities in the longest swath of this eclipse, nothing. You couldn't find a couch in Nashville at this point. So people are making a big thing. This is like a big ta-da-da-da-da solar eclipse. So now let me ask you, in Judaism, is a solar eclipse a big deal?
I suppose the answer is it's a minor big deal. Everything, you know, there's nothing that's insignificant in Judaism. Every event has significance and is important. When there's an event that affects so many millions of people, it has a lot of significance, and it's up to us to discover and explore what that significance is. The very first thing that's noticeable about the eclipse is what it isn't, and that is that for almost every single thing that happens to a Jew or that a Jew does, there's a blessing to make. You eat, there's a blessing. You drink, there's a blessing. You see a rainbow, there's a blessing. You hear thunder, there's a blessing. You see lightning, there's a blessing. In this list is the eclipse, for which there is no blessing. It's absent. And this is obviously something that we have to explore, and the question is why? So this is something which actually the Rebbe addressed, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Someone asked him this question in a letter, and his answer was that is that the Talmud discusses eclipses along with other national phenomena and basically tells us that it's a bad sign. Now, we have to understand what a bad sign is. Just put that on hold for a second, but let's say it's a bad sign, and as a result, if the eclipse is a bad omen or a bad sign, then, you know, we're not going to be celebrating with a blessing. Instead, we're going to be doing what we can to address this bad sign and this bad omen. Now, what actually does this mean? You know, as Jews, one of the 13 principles of faith is that we accept that we have free choice to determine whether it was bad and those who do good and punishes those who do bad. So where does a bad sign fit into this exactly? If we're doing what we should be, then how is, you know, what does the sun's bad sign mean exactly? If God looks at our actions and treats us accordingly. And we can say that he's bringing the eclipse as a result of our ill behavior, because you know, I know, and the sages of old also knew that an eclipse is something that you can predict for thousands of years in advance, and it's nothing that happened now because of what we're doing right here, right now. And so that has an interesting insight into what exactly the eclipse is and what it means. And this really goes to the general approach to Judaism to astrology. We're not big fans of astrology. Right, horoscopes and all that.
You're running one's life based on some prediction made in a newspaper that one read in the morning, you mean?
Right. So we're not into that as in general. Yet at the same time, the Talmud seems to be on both sides of the issue, saying that, you know, it's not the way it works. At the same time, it does give some credence to Charlie. And the question is, how do those two work together? And it seems that it's almost as if first you have to know how to do it right. You can't just open the horoscopes and assume that there's going to be deep meaning applied specifically to you. But assuming that there is some sort of influence that the stars do have, however, it's not binding. It's nothing. Nothing can stand in front of our God-given free choice. So perhaps, yes, if the stars are aligned a certain way, it may be a factor that may influence me, but it's not going to control me. And the same may be with an eclipse, that this may influence humanity to act in a way that would perhaps be not good, But it's not going to force us. And there's, you know, no doom predictions and all that. That's totally not part of our approach to the eclipse. So there's something negative there, which we should therefore take as a message to us to do better, to improve, to introspect. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to, it's certainly nothing evil or bad or anything like that. On the contrary, but it really, to a degree, you know, just seeing, there's certain things that we rely on. Sunrise and the sun's presence is one of them. You know, you rely, as sure as the sun comes up is an expression for a good reason. Everyone always, the sun is always there. It's always shining every single day. And when that disappears, suddenly we realize what we don't have.
Okay, if you're just joining us, all right, let me just interrupt you. Our guest today is Rabbi Menachem Posner, who's from Chabad.org. We're talking about the solar eclipse. Two questions. It's really sort of like 1A, 1B, as far as the question goes. Jews are admonished that we're not allowed to run our lives based on occurrences that happen around us. We're not into like the black cat type thing crossing in front of your path, or things falling on front of the floor, or people sneezing and saying, oh yeah, it must be true now. And therefore, we're not running our lives by what's going on with the stars at all. And then the second thing is, as you mentioned, that the idea is brought up that a solar eclipse is a misfortune, you might say, but it's really way cool. And another way cool occurrence that happens naturally, which people go run and look at, which is considered a bad omen, is a rainbow. A rainbow has a blessing. And it says, for example, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was such a righteous person that they never saw a rainbow in his lifetime, because rainbow is an indication that God wanted to destroy the earth, but because he promised Noah, he's not bringing the flood anymore. So things just don't seem to be clicking yet, Rabbi Posner.
Well, I guess the rainbow, I mean, it's almost a question more. The rainbow is unique in that, well, there's two aspects to the rainbow, really. So like you said, there's that promise, there's the message of the rainbow is, I want to destroy the earth, but I'm not because I promised to Noah, which on one hand feels kind of negative, like we're messing up. On the other hand, it's the most beautiful thing you can imagine. Like God is saying, you're completely undeserving, yet I love you so much that I'm not going to destroy you. So there's a very, very beautiful message in that rainbow, which is that no matter how bad you mess up, I'm still going to be ever patient and loving and not going to destroy you. So that's, I guess, puts the rainbow in a somewhat different class than the eclipse.
What about running one's lives by phenomena?
Right, so, well,
Friday the 13th.
We don't
do Friday the 13th, for example.
No, and neither do we say, oh, no, there's an eclipse, run for cover. We just say, okay, there's an eclipse. Everything in that we see and hear is a message, and the eclipse is no different. That's a message to us that we can and should do better. So we're not saying, don't plant your field because there's an eclipse, or it's not, there's no practical decision-making other than do better, which is always a good decision to make.
Okay, so now let's talk about the bad omen. I'm going to flip it around over here a little bit for you, Menachem.
Mm-hmm.
So it says in the Talmud that the nations of the world are compared to the sun, because like the sun shines. Every single day, the sun shines. The Jews, on the other hand, are compared to the moon, because like the moon, which has its cycles of being full and dark, so there are times throughout Jewish history when the Jews have had their fullness and the Jews have had their bleak days. So here it is. What's the eclipse is that the moon is blotting out the sun. So it seems to me, if you're talking in analogies, it sounds like this would sort of be a moral victory for the Jews over the nations of the world. So why is a solar eclipse a bad omen?
Well, I think that you can look at it that way, but we can also look at it that it's not a zero-sum game. It's not an us or them game. We're part of this world. Everyone is part of this world. And if the sun's rays, even if you're not the sun, so to speak, but if the sun rays are being blocked, then your world is that much darker as a result. And we can't, view ourselves in isolation and say, that's just the sun, the moon is doing fine. You know, the moon gets its radiance from the sun, and we all work together to create this harmonious cycle of life. And if anything, allegorically, if anything is missing over here, that's a problem for every one of us.
Okay, I can handle that. Now, okay, so The solar eclipse hits North America somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, and it comes across this little arc thing that goes like through Idaho and then through Nebraska and then in bottom of Illinois and Tennessee, and then all that makes its way out to North Carolina. Very many places along that route have Chabad institutions. Mm-hmm. So could you tell me what, since the Rebbe said, listen, if there's always an opportunity that people are going to be, so you should have the take the opportunity to help out another Jew. And I would assume that there will be a percentage all along this path of Jews going to view the total eclipse. So what's Chabad doing to facilitate participants of viewing the solar eclipse now?
Right. So I think that this is something that really varies from community to community. The Chabad rabbis along the route of the totality of the eclipse, coordinating for months, throwing around ideas and, coordinating what they're going to do. And I think it really depends on the location. For example, Carbondale, Illinois, is a very small Jewish community. Events there, are... dozens of people coming, not hundreds of people coming, and all of a sudden they're going to have this influx of people, and there's no and I think that that's really going to be one of the most popular viewing points is Carbondale.
You correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not up on an Illinois geography, but you're from Chicago. I think Carbondale is actually closer to St. Louis than it is to Chicago.
It is. Yeah, it's far south. And so... there, a big focus is going to be that there's going to be people there over Shabbos who are going to need a place to pray. They're going to need to have kosher meals. And so they're putting a big focus on just helping visitors to their city just find their way Jewishly. Then you have other communities that are, and this is not necessarily exclusive, this is all they're doing, but these are the people who spoke to me about their focus right now. And we've other in North Carolina who are preparing. They're going to have a viewing party or other such events when the people will be studying some of the things that we discussed, the text related to the eclipse, a kosher lunch, an opportunity for the men to put on tefillin. So really, everyone is doing it differently, but everyone is doing what they can to cater to the needs of Jewish people, either local or visitors.
Mm-hmm. You think it'd be okay if I suddenly decided, like Sunday night, and drive down to Carbondale that Rabbi Shiner would let me sleep on his couch?
If you can get to him, I'm getting through traffic.
Yeah, indeed, I believe that. Okay, so you talked before that everything that we see. I mean, one of the adages of the Baal Shem Tov, which became a major tenet of Hasidic philosophy, is that everything that one sees or hears, one should use as a lesson to making their lives better, making the world better, serving Hashem. So anything specific other than, this is happening, I should be a better person, I should look and see myself and try to do better, which is true with, I suppose, brushing your teeth in the morning too. Anything specific that we can see there with the phenomena of the solar eclipse that might lead us to do some introspection and improvement, Rabbi Posner?
Well, I think that there's really two things here that are amazing. Number one is that Tzvi Suman has done some fantastic writing on this subject, actually. It's on Chabad.org. The title of the article is an interview with, a solar eclipse engineer. And he really discusses the amazing improbability of such a total eclipse happening, and that it only is known to happen here on Earth, and the incredible beauty of how the exact way that the eclipse, the cycles of the moon, and how it serves, everything is aligned just to create the world that we know it and sustain life. And it's really one of those, Psalms, we read in Psalms, "U'mar manechem ru'mi bara eila," to look up at the heavens and see who made all this. And sometimes we look up and we just recognize that, wow, God did something really amazing over here, and it's there to sustain us, and it's there so that we can look at it and marvel and grow in his world. So that's something that's really, striking by the eclipse. It kind of it brings us home. And by the way, I misquoted. It's actually from Isaiah, not from Psalms. So okay. If anyone's listening, I apologize for that. And I think another important message over here is, like I mentioned earlier, the fact that it takes away just a little bit of that stability that we're so used to. And, we sometimes become very confident and sure of ourselves. And, we predict that our financial future will be such, and we predict that our environment will be such. And when the eclipse comes, I realize, it's the things that I rely on and that I just expect, I shouldn't take anything for granted. And that can, bring a very strong sense of humility and gratitude for that which we actually do have and we're blessed to have in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty interesting. Okay, so let me just ask. So if a person, according to, like, say, Jewish thought, if a person has an opportunity to go view the totality, should they make that effort or just say, why bother?
Well, I think that, marveling at God's world is something that's special. God put it here for us. I mean, obviously, he had many reasons, and it's not for us to speculate God's necessary reasons, but it's there. It's just this of God's presence in our lives, and absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Okay. Our guest today, that's going to do it for us. Our guest today has been Rabbi Menachem Posner of Chabad.org. And indeed, I'm just looking as we were talking in some of the articles about, so one of them actually written by Rabbi Posner, about the eclipse and viewing the eclipse and philosophy about the eclipse. And I can strongly recommend that people go to www.chabadchabad.org and take a look at them. And thank you so much for taking up some of your time. I'm sure you've been inundated this weekend with requests for interviews.
There's been quite a bit of action.
Yeah, but after Monday afternoon, it'll be quiet again.
Back to regular.
Back to regular busy.
Okay, well, sure. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Take care, and we'll call on you next time. Something like, this next eclipse after this is in 2021, I think. So we'll call,
okay,
call you back.
I'll mark my calendar now.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Take
okay.
care.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Joel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. You want to send me your pictures of the total eclipse of the sun? That's great. Do that. Send those to rabbifinman.com. I'll be expecting them tomorrow afternoon. And every time I use the expression total eclipse of the sun, just immediately I get this earworm. You know what an earworm is, Jason? You heard the expression earworm? Earworm is when you get like a song stuck in your head for like no reason. That's called an earworm. So I get this earworm every time I say total eclipse of the sun of Carly Simon singing You're So Vain. You spent your whole bankroll to go to Eclipse. You know the song. But anyway, I'm dating myself. Speaking of songs, up next, this is brand new. Last week, Avram Fried released a new CD. It's a all Hebrew because he released it primarily for the Israeli population, but for those people who also speak Hebrew. The songs are pretty cool. The name of the CD is called Tov Shenifgashenu, which means it's good that we get together. And we're going to play right now, for your listening pleasure, the title track, Tov Shenifgashenu, it's good that we get together. And this is Avram Fried.
הפשטות והתום זיכרונות שאיתך הולכים לכל מקום בית אביך ואמך תמיד תישא איתך ולא תוכל לשכוח משם תשב עוד כוח מחשב מסלול מחדש ובאופק נקודת מפגש גם אם הדרך איתך יש מי שמחווה בגרותך כמו פרי בשל בפיך בלבבך עוד לומד לקבל מברך על הכל אלוקים גדול והוא תמיד איתך גם אם עבדה דרכך וחשב מסלול מחדש ובאופק נקודת מפגש גם אם הדרך התארכה יש מי שמחדש
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This next piece has gone viral on the internet. It's Leif Tahor, which is generally an a cappella group. This one, they decided, rather than having to listen to them only for 9 weeks out of the year, they decided to put a little music in it, and they introduced it actually after the 3 weeks. It's called Hallelujah, which means praise God. Let's listen in. was Lev Toher. We got room for one more. This is also brand new. This is the Pushkin Klezmer Band. They're actually from Poland. They just came out with a CD simply called The Klezmer Music of the Pushkin Klezmer Band. And this piece is called Hanga, which is a type of Yiddish dance. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Shoftim. It can be found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 16 and following. Well, I'm going to tie something. I'm going to tie actually the portion of the solar eclipse with the portion of the week. There is a Midrash, which is a compendium of sayings that were handed down from Moses through the generations and written down sometime, about 2,000 years ago, maybe
as late as 1800 years ago. And this one happens to be called Perek Shira, which means the chapters of songs. And in it, there is a mandate that every organism has a song by which it praises God. That would include inanimate objects as well, because in Judaism, we believe that the life force which is conveyed to the organism, even an inanimate object, is that godliness which is keeping it in existence, is, quote-unquote, its soul. And Maimonides himself talks about the idea that the constellations do have knowledge. You're talking about planets, big rocks floating around in the sky in irregular orbits over there, have something called knowledge. They know not to bump into each other, and they know which way to pray to God. Okay, so now, that's we can explain that through natural phenomena, but that doesn't take away from the fact that whatever exists exists. So in this Perek Shira, there is one line as to what song the sun sings. And it says, the sun is saying, the sun, when covered by the moon, stood in its abode. They walk to the lights of your arrows and by the shine of your glittering spear. So here it is, the sun, in praising the Almighty for its existence, what does it mention? It doesn't mention that it gets to be called the Mar HaGadol, the great luminary, the giver of life. The reason why there is life on Earth is because 400 million miles from here, there is an luminous orb. Actually, it's not 40. It's actually, it's 93 million. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. What's a couple million miles among planets, but enough to not bump into each other? But however many million miles away it is, so the sun is, its great praise is not that it is the great life giver, but it praises God and thanks God for when its light is eclipsed. You could say, now let's look at the sun. What is the sun doing during an eclipse? Same thing it does all the time. The sun is doing exactly what it is doing. It's shining because suns can't not shine. That's just the way they're programmed. That's the way they're made. What is the moon doing? The moon's not doing anything different. The moon orbits the Earth. And it just so happens, you know, you could call it divine providence, which we will, mathematically predictable divine providence. That doesn't mean it's any less divine providence. Has it such that what the moon does gets in the way of what the Earth does? Excuse me, of what the sun does. So the sun is still shining, but we can't see it. And taking a lesson from this paradigm, we can say the Almighty is involved with our lives. The Almighty is doing whatever the Almighty is doing. And we're doing whatever we're doing. But sometimes, in this analogy, that God would be like the sun, we would be like the earth. Sometimes things get in the way so that we cannot see that light. And the way the Earth is set up, our lives are set up at this point, we're pretty much basically in a state of total eclipse all the time. But we're admonished. I remember as a little kid when they had, I've never seen a total eclipse. I've never been in an area of a total eclipse. And I just looked at the map and I did see that Detroit, not bad. Don't have to really go down to Carbondale, Illinois, or to Nashville, Tennessee to see a total, because the Detroit area is going to be about 90% eclipsed. So if you got like those funny goggles, or you have welder's goggles or something like that, or you do like one of those things where you take a selfie behind you and you're not looking and you can take a picture of it and look and go, oh, that's flipping cool. So you'll be able to see it. So it's 90% is pretty good. It's just that the 10%, if you look at it, will blind you. But we're also told if you're looking at a total eclipse, the moon is totally blacked out. blocking, the moon is totally blocking out the sun. We're also told, don't look at it. It will be injurious for your vision. It will burn out your retinas, but it's blocked out. But there's still some light. There's still some radiance coming through. So the Almighty also, we live in what we consider a dark time. We don't see God. We don't have miracles of biblical proportion happening anymore. We don't have people standing up and saying that God showed me. We don't have revelations on Sinai or splitting of seas, any of that stuff anymore. But there's enough godliness getting through that we can, if we're careful, we'll be able to perceive it. We'll be able to say, don't look at it straight. Yeah, okay. In this instance, we should be able to recognize that our lives are directed by divine providence. That ties in specifically with this week's portion. There are numerous mitzvahs, as I said at the beginning of the show, many, many mitzvahs in this week's portion. That's all it is. There's no story. There's a list of mitzvahs. One of the jobs of the book of Deuteronomy, which the word Deuteronomy in Greek means review, is to review most of the 613 commandments. So in this week's portion, I think there are 40. I'm not exactly sure. This week there's 40. Next week there's 70. The week after there's 30-something. I don't know how many exactly. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But one of the commandments in this week's portion is Tamim Tiyuim Hashalem Elokecha. You shall be Tamim is the word we're going to focus on, with the Lord your God. Tamim is translated as perfect or simple or complete, wholehearted. I've seen these translations. The word Tamim means 100%. That's really what the word Tamim means. So here it is. Now, the Torah doesn't tell you, the Bible, it doesn't say anything obvious or superfluous in the Bible. There is no verse anywhere in the 24 books of the Bible that says that the sky is blue. You don't need such a verse. You go outside, you look, you'll see the sky is blue. This verse is not superfluous. This verse is telling me, Tamim Tiyuim Hashem Elokecha, that you have to give it your 100%. Human nature is such that we would like to get by with as little as possible. That's just the way we operate. You know, someone said to me that they would really like it if they were like fluent in a foreign language and could play a musical instrument like a concert pianist and be able to paint pictures like Rembrandt. And I said, okay, so what are you doing about it? Nothing, I just like to do it. So it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. If you want to speak a foreign language, you have to go learn the foreign language. Just like you had to learn your language when you were a kid, you didn't just suddenly, in fact, if you think about it, speaking your own language took you the longest of any language if you're learning foreign languages. You know, it takes usually around 22 years to learn how to speak English for the average person. They start talking about two. And they usually develop their full vocabulary by the time they're about 23, 24, 25. So when you think about it that way, it takes a long time to learn even your first language, never mind a second language. And to learn to be to be proficient in an instrument, it's one day at a time. I started taking up cello again when I was, almost a decade, it's almost 10 years. On and off, I've been playing with the cello. I haven't been playing the cello. I've been playing with the cello. Because when I was a kid, I played cello. I saw Pablo Casals and just like went, wow, that's the most beautiful thing I ever saw. And then saw an interview with Pablo Casals where Pablo Casals said, he was asked on by Mike Wallace, how much does he play the cello? And he said he plays it at about 8 hours a day. And I just like went, no, there's no way that I'm going to play cello for 8 hours a day. But this was the man's livelihood. This is what he did. If you say the word Pablo Casals, it's synonymous with cello because that's what he did. So I wasn't prepared to put that effort in, and therefore we don't associate the name Pablo Casals with the cello. We don't equate the name Herschel Finman with playing the cello because I didn't put in that kind of effort. And I'm still not. I mean, if I do 20 minutes, a half hour a day at this point, it's mostly just finger exercises that I'm doing now just to keep myself nimble and try to get a decent tone out of this wooden box with the strings on it. But that's not good enough in Judaism. The Almighty presents to us a scenario, puts us in a scenario where it looks like everything's eclipsed, but it's not. There really is a tremendous corona of godliness which is enveloping us. And the Almighty asks of us, Tamim tiya im Hashem Elokecha, just be 100%. We know what we have to do. We know right from wrong, which is from last week's portion. That's what we were told. Listen, there's lots of things that you can't control. Don't worry about the things you can't control. My mother used to say, and she was not from a Hasidic background. Well, maybe technically speaking, her grandfather was from Polish Hasidim, but she never met him because he never came to America and she was born in America. But she used to say, just try to be a mensch. Try to do the right thing all the time. Don't say, listen, you know, I'll be happy with a B+. A B+, if I do things correctly 87% of the time and I muck up 13% of the time, listen, that's pretty good. You know, that's Western philosophy, and that's absolutely not. A person is given the opportunity and given the tools and given the strength to be tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha, to be 100% with Hashem. Speaking of 100%, we're almost up to 100% of the hour. We got to get moving on. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. If you would like to get in touch with me, the way to do that, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way to contact me right on the homepage. If you have any kind of question, query, comment, criticism, send it off to rabbifinman.com. I appreciate any input from you. And there are people that I have actually been speaking with on a regular basis via emails back and forth for 20 years plus that have been listening to the Jewish Hour, and thank you very much. You'll also find archived editions of the show. I really do appreciate the JCast Network for taking care of posting the show to iTunes and my website and to Stitcher and to whether I'm putting it in SoundCloud and wherever else podcasts go. So I'll give a good shout out to Daron from JCast Network, and you can check out some of their other podcasts that they have there playing on a regular basis. Very interesting stuff. A lot of interesting stuff on JCast. I wish it was more, actually. I'd be probably listening a whole day to JCast Network. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which yours truly conveys Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. And you'll also find, ready for this one? Would you believe it or not? The donations page. Yes. We're on air 21 years, and we couldn't have done it without sponsors like you. We have our sponsors. We have our whole list. Thank the Almighty for the sponsors that we do have. But if you don't know it or not, radio broadcasting is expensive. When I started out 21 years ago, it was hard raising a budget, but I paid, without exaggeration, a quarter of what I paid for, what I pay for today. And I had a 2-hour show on the other station back then, and I paid a quarter of what I paid today. So it's expensive, radio broadcasting, and we seem to just make it month to month to month to month. We've got June paid off. That's good. Baruch Hashem. Now we're up to July, August. August is over next week as far as the radio broadcast is concerned. Then we'll be into September. We're coming up already this month. We'll be starting Elul, which is the month before Rosh Hashanah, in which there are no holidays and a person should prepare. It's called the month of accounting. So a person should take into account, are you up with your tithing? Are you current with your giving of charity? And even if you could say, you know what? I've given my 10%. So maybe you just need to give a little bit more. As the Alter Rebbe Tanya says, that if a person was sick and the medicine would cost more than 10% of his income, they would spend that money for that cure, because spending, say, 11% is a whole lot better than dying. So not saying that if you don't give money to the Jewish hour, you're going to die. God forbid, I didn't say that. But I'm saying you can open up your heart and open up your computer and go to Rabbi Finman. Go to the donations page. Make it a monthly thing. That way it's automatic. It goes right under your credit card. You don't even have to think about it. It's giving, and the recipient benefits. You might even have forgotten about it, which you think, wait a minute, how am I doing? It actually says that if you're giving to someone and you don't even know that you're giving to them, it's a much higher way of giving than handing him right into his hand. So go do it. We have, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of people who are $5 and $10 and $18 monthly donations. That's a wonderful thing. A person wants to give $100 or $1,000. It's also a good thing, one-time shop, if that's easier for you. If you don't like giving internet credit card use, that's fine. Drop your contribution, any amount, to the Jewish Hour. 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Speaking of 1725 Pinecrest Drive, which is the home of Jewish Ferndale, which is another project of the same umbrella organization that the Jewish Hour is part of, Jewish Ferndale will be celebrating its grand opening, finally, on September 17th. That's a Sunday, a couple of Sundays from today. 3 to 5 p.m., right on the front lawn, will be starting. The house will be open. People will get a tour. They'll be able to see what the place is all about. The art studio will be open. The game room will be open. The garden, the community garden, will be there for your viewing. And if you kind of catch a tomato or something, that's also a good thing. There's the meditative garden. And you know, if we have a couple thousand people back there meditating, that would be really cool. That would be really flipped out, actually. So come on down. Of course, there's food. You can't do Judaism without food. And we'll have other things keeping people busy for the 2 hours. And a good time is promised for all. Come on down, September the 17th, 3 to 5, 1725, Pinecrest Drive in Ferndale. The story, an interesting perception by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In 1960, a person was appointed. I don't remember his name. His name was Chaim something or another. And he was appointed to be the head of the Chabad public school system in Israel. The way it works in Israel is they don't have public schools based by community or locale. It's not the municipalities in charge of the public school as it is in, say, in America. But rather, the ideology is in charge of the public school. And it is possible. There is one block in Jerusalem where there are 5 elementary schools on the same block, because there are different philosophies behind the running of each of these public schools. So, and they look at it, this is perfectly fine. So there is a Chabad public school system, which was set up in 1947. That's a whole story in and of itself. So this person was appointed in 1960, and he came to the Rebbe in 1963, had a private audience. And he kind of complained, he doesn't feel like he's really working hard enough. He's not putting in, he doesn't feel like he's doing his job with the self-sacrifice needed for it. The Rebbe said to him, what is self-sacrifice? Self-sacrifice means that when you're done doing a job and you look back and you say, wow, that was really hard. I can't believe I did that. But while you were doing it, you were just one step after another in doing. That's self-sacrifice. If you're in the middle of a job and you're complaining how hard it is, that's human nature. That's going to do it. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit.
We hope you have a good week. Rosh Chodesh is Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.